return to you, dreaming with each lullaby. Hold your sweet, weary head to my sister there. She kissed her two babies on cheek and on brow, and left them with nary a care. The wind, it did rise, and the rain, it did fall. The river, a watery way. Molly never heard danger's dark call, and was swept to her watery grave. I'll return to you, dear, in the dimming of day, as a sparrow returns to her nest. I'll return to you, dreaming with each lullaby. Hold your sweet, weary head to my breast.
Thank you, Laura Lee.
Okay, we're going to do the poetry of Robert Bly this morning. I was going to do the odes of Neruda, but Janet's away and I was busy, and so we're going to do that. She gave me a couple of books on Robert Bly, and I've just this morning, been digging into him a little bit. Here's a really early poem called "Home in the Dark Grass." In the deep fall, the body awakes, and we find lions on the seashore and nothing to fear. In the deep fall, the body awakes, and we find lions on the seashore, nothing to fear. The wind rises and the water is born, spreading white tomb clothes on a rocky shore, drawing us up from the bed of the land. We did not come to remain whole. We came to lose our leaves like the trees. Trees that start again, drawing up from the great roots. Some men captured the moors, wake rowing in the cold ocean air, living a second life. Living a second life. Living a second life. That we should learn of poverty and rags, that we should taste the weed of Dillinger and swim in the sea, not always walking on dry land and dancing. Find in the trees a savior, a home in the dark grass, and nourishment in death. Where must we look for help when the Good Samaritans are murdered? Well, the dove returns and finds no resting place. It was in flight all night above the shaken seas. Beneath arc eaves, the dove shall magnify the tiger's bed. Give the dove peace. The split-tail swallows leave the sill at dawn. At dusk, blue swallows shall return. And on the third day, the crow shall fly. The crow, the crow, the spider-colored crow. The crow shall find new mud to walk on. This one's called Awakening. Again, we're reading from Robert Bly, Stealing Sugar from the Castle, and new poems, just published recently. Robert Bly, a longtime poet and still living, I think, and a Quaker, or at least at one at various points a Quaker, and a translator, a man who's indulged in just about every kind of poetry. And one of the great, actually, interpreters of Rilke, my other favorite poet. This one's called Awakening. We are approaching sleep. The chestnut blossoms in the mind mingle with thoughts of pain. And the long roots of barley, bitterness as of the oak roots staining the water dark in Louisiana, the wet streets soaked with rain, and sodden blossoms. And out of this, well, we have come a tunnel softly hurtling into darkness. The storm is coming. Our small farmhouse in Minnesota is hardly strong enough for the storm. Darkness, darkness in the grasses, darkness in trees. Even the water in wells trembles. The bodies give off darkness, and chrysanthemums are dark. And horses who are bearing great loads of hay to the deep barns where the dark air is moving from the corners. Lincoln's statue in the traffic from the long past into the long present. A bird forgotten in these pressures, warbling as the great wheel turns round, grinding the living into water. Washing, continual washing, in water now stained with blossoms and rotting logs, cries half muffled from beneath the earth, the living finally as awake as the dead. I guess if you live long enough, you hear that song. Well, we're going to do a little experiment now. Another book that Janet Harrison, our co-host, normally on the poetry show, gave me was a thing called There Is No Long Distance Now, very short stories by Naomi Shihab Nye. Some of them are written clearly for teenagers, but come on. And this is one of them. It's called Horizon. And I like these very short stories. They're doable on the radio. Without taking too long, not much longer than a medium-sized poem. you'll see what's going on in this. Naomi is just an absolutely wonderful poet and writer, Palestinian-American heritage. And we've, of course, seen her a number of times around here, and she's just a remarkable poet and human being. Actually, the slogan for this whole station, It's Late, But Everything Comes Next, comes from her famous poem called Jerusalem. This is called Horizon. Jake said, sometimes divorce is not a negative. Sometimes it's like, you know, things are going to get better now. while Margot was crying in the front seat of his car. They were trying to go into a movie, Amelia, but she had blurted the bad news right after he picked her up at her very quiet house. Jake had noticed, walking up the sidewalk to ring her bell, that her house looked darker than usual. No lights in the upstairs bedrooms, not even the porch light turned on. She had started sobbing as they ascended the ramp to the highway and cried all the way to the theater. And now it looked as if they might miss the previews for sure. He really loved the previews, even when they told too much and overdosed on volume. Sometimes he watched the previews he loved on his computer over and over again, just to note the editing elements. Maybe it wasn't the best night to see a movie in which one of the main characters disappeared. Mostly, Margot seemed upset because she had no idea her parents were this close to splitting up. She always felt in touch with what was going on around her. Extreme attentiveness. Very important trait. Jake called her the detail queen, and she liked it. But she had really been in the dark on this one. Sure, her parents argued, but mostly she would have called it pernicious squabbling, not big fights in which people threw things or slammed doors. Sure, they spent regular periods away from each other. Her father was a pilot. Which now seemed another reason, thought Jake, they shouldn't see this movie. But that was his job. And no, she had never dreamed her mom could be attracted to a flight attendant she'd met at a company party. Weren't those guys usually gay? No, she shouldn't say that. She was trying to catch herself any time she stereotyped anything, even people who shopped at Target, as if they were a cultural endeavor, or women with too many children under the age of 5. I wish they'd let me in on it sooner, she sobbed. Why? Because it's like a slap in the face thinking you have a regular family and then finding out you don't. But aren't half the families in America divorced by now? Jake asked. His certainly were. His parents had divorced when he was in middle school. And it wasn't so horrible. In fact, it was easier dealing with only one of them at a time. Margot gasped. But I'm moving to Dubai. What? Yes, my dad flies there, and he says the buildings are incredible, and cute boys from Holland play frisbee on the beach. Now Jake felt slapped. She would talk about cute boys to him? Who was this person in his vehicle? He gulped and tried to gather his wits. Margot, you just need to let the news settle in, and maybe it won't even happen. Sometimes parents say things that never happen at all. Do yours? She asked. He thought about it. Not really, he said. People were walking past his car into the theater. Happy dates, holding hands. Long married people. The women pulling shawls slightly around their shoulders. It was always so cold in theaters. Well, are you ready to go in? Jake asked. Margot sniffed. I may never be ready to do anything again. Your parents love you. Ha, that's what they said. Obviously, they haven't had a thought about me in months. Would you rather see a different movie? I'm not attached to Amelia at all. I love Hilary Swank and Richard Gere. Yeah, but the reviews were pretty weak. It said, you know, like a script written by the same guys who wrote Cliff Notes. But don't we love Cliff Notes? They're like previews. Or afterviews, or whatever. He kissed her on the side of her head, above the ear. Her hair smelled peachy. We could see the Michael Jackson movie. Well, now that's really happy. I heard it's great. Or we could just go back downtown and take a walk by the river and get hot chocolate or something, if you're not in the mood for a movie. No, I need a movie. I need to forget my life and fly away. Well, maybe not fly, but I need someone else's troubles. So they stood in line behind three boys who were seeing the Michael Jackson movie. One wore a t-shirt that said Michael Forever in glittering script with a silhouette of Michael's face. Margot thought it was really terrible that what had happened to him It seems so preventable somehow. As if in, you know, why didn't he just hire a spectacular massage therapist with lavender oil to stand by his bedside at night when he couldn't sleep or sing his lullabies? She wished she had been a bigger fan of his songs while he was alive. Mostly, she liked his dance steps, how he slid and scooted and skated across the stage. It was inspiring just to think of a human body with so much high-velocity potential. Jake said, you know, I think all the movies may be equally depressing right now. Amelia, also known as Hillary, was wearing a leather flight jacket in the poster. She looked tough and hopeful. She had a weird haircut. She could go anywhere, cross any horizon, do anything. No one would stop her. Do a little tribute to Greg Allman here.
I'm going away now, baby. I won't be back no more. Going back down south, child. Don't you want to go? Woman, I'm troubled. Worried all in my mind. I can't be satisfied, but I just can't keep from trying.
Don't you want to go? Woman, I'm troubled. Worried. I'm What else can life bring? But it makes me feel better each time to begin. Calling me home, Hickory. It's a hard way to find out that trouble is real in a faraway city with a faraway
And welcome back here for a few minutes here of the Poetry Show here on Enlightened Radio in the morning. I've been a little disorganized this morning because I've been trying to get the phones to work because Fanny's going to be coming in. And I'm trying to get it so we can do the phone calls because we've had a hitch here on our technical thing. But I think we have a solution that appears to be working, and we have a, you know, I just got to, but I need to get back in touch with Fanny. I'm going to close out here with another little set of poems from Robert Black this morning. And again, from books that Janet Harrison has given me. She's away this week dealing with her sister at Memorial Day. And I think she's going to go down and check out her daughter-in-law, too, who's got some serious health issues and is going to be, you know, going some procedures for them. So we're holding her in the light as well. All right. So this one is called The Fall Has Come. Clear as the eyes of chickens. And I think that's a good one to close on the day. It's also known as silence. Okay. The fall has come. Clear as the eyes of chickens. Strange muffled sounds come from the sea. Sounds of muffled oarlocks and swampings in lonely bays. Surf crashing. Yeah, surf crashing. On unchristened shores. And the wash of tiny snail shells in the wandering gravel. My body also wanders among these doorposts and cars, cradling a pin or walking down a stair, holding a cup in my hand and not breaking into the pastures that lie in the sunlight. This is the sloth of a man inside the body, the sloth of the body lost among the wandering stones of kindness. Something homeless is looking on the long roads, a dog lost since midnight, a small duck amongst the odorous reeds, or a tiny box elder bug searching for the windowpane. Even the young sunlight is lost on the windowpane, moving at night like a diver among the bare branches, silently lying on the floor. Yeah, there was so a little bit from Robert Bly today. Sorry for the disorganized thing. We'll get better as we go along here. Getting back into swing of things here with our new organization. Going to be putting up the calendars today. Stay tuned to www.enlightenradio.org, and we'll be podcasting stuff too. All right. Thanks very much for listening today. I'll go back to our little musical regimen here while I get stuff ready for Fanny Crawford and Storytelling at Noon. All right.